Welcome to the Mac Observer's Daily Observations podcast. I'm Jeff Gamet. Today is Tuesday, June 23rd, 2015. And with me today, I have Kelly Goumont. How are you, Kelly?
I'm doing okay. I always like to say I'm well, but I'm actually not. But that doesn't stop me from coming on the show.
Well, I'm glad that you're well enough that you could make it to your microphone to be with us today.
Yes, it's actually a hurt knee. So for people who are concerned, I have some sort of larger issue. I've screwed my knee up. So it's just a matter of crutching, which means I can still talk.
That's good. The fact that your mouth is not part of your knee, that'd just be weird anatomy.
Yeah, that's great on several fronts.
Yes, it is. Hey, and Brian Chaffin is here today. How are you, Brian?
I am doing well. Both knees functional?
Excellent. I was just about to ask. All right. My knees are just fine as well. So Kelly is the only gimp among us today.
I am indeed. I'm okay with that.
But nonetheless, it's nice to have you here, crippled and all.
Well, thanks.
And hey, we have a sponsor this week, and that sponsor is Bushel. They make a really, really cool utility for managing your Apple devices as if you were your own IT department. It's very cool. We'll be talking about them soon. But before we get to that, Brian, you wrote a really interesting analysis piece yesterday that came to life after Tim Cook took to Twitter and said that it's time for us to start removing symbols of hate.
Well, the symbols and words that feed racism is actually
there. We go. Yes. Yes.
Yeah. Yeah. You know, Tim has been loud and. Loud and proud on issues relating to discrimination. And this not only includes discrimination against homosexuals, which he officially came out last year, but it also and absolutely includes sexism and racism. And the man is very, very keen on equality. He has put his considerable corporate presence, his personal, so what am I trying to say? His considerable presence that comes from the fact that he heads what is arguably the most successful company of all time.
He has a very high profile, and he's using those powers for good.
Yes. Now, his comments on Twitter were in response to the racist terrorist shooting event that happened at Emmanuel African Methodist Church in South Carolina.
There's Episcopal in the name somewhere too.
Oh, all right. Well, I better get a longer list for names. Anyhow, so there were several people that were killed by a guy that was very outspoken with his racist beliefs. And then following the shootings, the church was closed for a few days and then reopened over the weekend so that they could hold their Sunday services. And as all of this was playing out, the rallying cry to remove the Confederate flag from government facilities in South Carolina started growing louder and louder.
That's the thing here. Listen. The South has places where the Confederate flag is still part of state accoutrement. It is disgusting and it is ridiculous and it drives me nuts. It's driven me nuts for decades. I am glad that we are having a fairly prominent discussion on this, and we're having a discussion on this from there is now pressure from both the left and the right. On this particular issue,
Mitt Romney has been very vocal about the Confederate flag needing to come down. President Obama said that Mitt's totally right and the flag needs to come down.
So I want to point out, I just want to channel my inner Brian here for a second and point out that what we're actually talking about here is the one that you can see on the top of the General Lee in the Dukes of Hazzard, which, by the way, is an actual flag, but it's the Confederate battle flag. So it's the one that was actually used by the Confederate Army when they were actively fighting.
Yeah,
to preserve slavery. Let me just get out there. That's what that symbol is representative of.
It is, in fact, the battle flag of the Confederacy as opposed to the Confederate flag. However, over the decades, it has become synonymous with Confederacy as a whole.
Right, exactly. Yes. But yes. For a lot of people, like to me, for example, it was surprising to find that this still flew in front of a governmental building at all. Like, I knew people had it, you know, in their houses and whatever.
Technically, in South Carolina, this particular flag was part of a so-called monument. But that monument is on state grounds, and it's very near the state capitol. Mm-hmm. And calling it a monument, quite frankly, in my opinion, has always been just an excuse to fly it.
Yeah, it's disingenuous at best.
It is disingenuous at best. And I personally could not possibly express in an appropriate fashion for this podcast the depths of my feelings of those who want to hold that flag up and ignore the fact that it is representative of a battle that was fought, among other things, for the right to own other human beings based in part on their skin color.
Mm-hmm.
And all the states' rights arguments, all of the political arguments, all of the other politics that went into the Civil War, they're all real, but at its heart, that war was fought over the right to own human beings. And I am so glad that Tim Cook is speaking. It's funny, Mark Benioff, the CEO of Salesforce.com, he actually went further. He was tweeting and retweeting from other various people directly saying to remove the Confederate flag, which again is a misnomer, but that's beside the point.
Right.
Tim Cook was a little more circumspect when he said simply the symbols and words that feed racism.
I read as him aiming bigger. Like,
well,
it's more than just this flag.
It's true. Well, it is more than just this flag.
There's a call to change the names of highways and other streets in South Carolina. Because many are named after Confederate generals.
Listen, in Texas, I went to in my town, all of the elementary schools were named after Confederate generals.
Mm-hmm.
And this was 110 years after the Civil War.
Yeah, which is in and of itself fascinating, I think. But on the other hand, when those schools were made, that was still a very real part of these people's heritage, and for many people, it was a proud heritage.
Well, it's still. I don't want us to pretend that the Civil War didn't happen.
That would be a bad thing to do.
I don't want to make it illegal to speak about Confederate generals. I don't even want the battle flag. Or any other Confederate flag. I don't want those symbols made illegal. I just don't want them to be part of state government.
Right.
No, they shouldn't be made illegal. That's a free speech issue. Yes, that's a free speech issue. That goes against the foundations of this country. But there are far more appropriate places to display symbols like the Confederate battle flag, and that would be in a museum.
So, and I also want to point out, I know that one of the sort of knee-jerk reactions that a lot of people get, like, for example, if I, a lifelong resident of Oregon, which is above California, just south of Canada, were to say something about, yeah, this is terrible and you should get rid of it, people are going to go, well, what do you know, Kelly? You live in Oregon and you've never lived in any other state. Well, Tim Cook was born in Alabama and went to Auburn University, which is also in Alabama. And I thought his post-grad stuff was from Duke, which is in North Carolina. So it's not like this is not a Southern fella.
Well,
like,
let
me just put out there that like he's got some cred when he comes out and says something like this, particularly about something that's happening in South Carolina.
Oregon has its own racist past.
Oh, we totally do.
As does Colorado.
As does the entire United States of America. Right. This is an issue that is still a big part of our culture. One way or another, and racism exists in many forms and fashions, and it still exists in the hearts of many, many Americans. I mean, this is you know, we can't just wish this stuff away, but we have to keep chipping away at it. And in this particular case, to bring it all back, one way to chip away at it is to get it off of state flags and get it off of state buildings and get it off of official government business. I mean, it is not only from a racist standpoint, but from the mere fact that this is also a symbol of rebellion against the United States government.
Yes, it is.
I mean, it doesn't have any place in contemporary society. It just doesn't. And I'm glad Tim Cook's speaking about this. And I'm glad that Mark Benioff is speaking about this. And I'm glad that Mitt Romney is speaking about this. And Nikki Haley, who is a rather curious governor from everything I've read, reverse course. She's a Republican in the governor of, in fact, South Carolina. And she said that I think her first knee-jerk reactions was to say that the flag was appropriate in the monument. But then she reversed course yesterday.
And after these happened, I would like to point out that it was she said no, and then Tim Cook said, Mark Benioff went, well, you know, and then she went, well, okay. And I don't know if those are directly related, but that's the timeline of what happened.
And Mitt Romney. There was a growing course. And who knows why she changed her mind, but the important thing is that she changed her position, whether or not she changed her mind. Right. It's just, anyway, it's time for this stuff to go. And it is a good thing for Tim Cook to stand up for what's right.
Absolutely.
It is. I'm glad that Tim Cook feels comfortable being outspoken with his beliefs because with people like Tim out there championing rights, I think that we have a higher likelihood of seeing growing support for that throughout other corporate leaders, and the more corporate leaders we have that are behind things like this, I think the more or the higher the likelihood is that we will see true change. Because in many cases, it comes down to politics, and a lot of these companies are putting a lot of money into lobbying.
Mm-hmm.
So you know they can just kind of drop this in with everything else they're doing, and hey, you want that extra $5 million? Need to make this flag go away.
Well, yeah, you know, I don't want to start seeing. I'm not going to support that because that kind of pressure goes two ways.
It absolutely goes two ways,
and it has historically gone to in the direction that is not good for the people, not good for our culture and society and government.
Well, I
don't want to advocate it. For here, just because we happen to agree with the
I'm not advocating
the premise.
I'm saying it's likely this could happen because that's just how business and politics works.
Right.
What I'm hoping is that with enough outspoken top-level executives at big companies, that this remains a transparent enough issue that the checks and balances will be in place to keep this from becoming something that ultimately works out poorly for us in the end.
Yeah. So, and I just want to point out that this is really, it's not news that Tim Cook would say something like this. He's been crusading sort of on, like we talked about earlier, all these fronts. Apple had a huge official corporate presence at the Gay Pride Parade last summer in San Francisco. And with the WWDC scholarship winners, they extended it to women in STEM fields and STEM education. And they had a reception for a bunch of girls and women who won scholarships to WWDC. Tim Cook showed up there, and one of the girls said, thank you for giving me this opportunity. And he said, and the reason I remember this is because the quote was notable. Oh, I'm going to do this until my toes point up. And I just thought that was very nice. So this is something that I really sort of enjoy out of the new Apple. And it's one of those things that, as a person who has sometimes had sometimes been discriminated against by being a woman in technology. I really like that this is a thing that they're coming out for. And they talked about accessibility during the keynote and some of the things that make it a lot easier for people who are disabled to use an Apple device, whether it's a mobile device or a Mac or whatever. You know, the functionality that's there to really include everybody. And I'm really excited about the fact that this is something that Apple's doing. And it makes me happier to hand over my money when it's time for the new thing, because I know I'm giving it to a company that has similar beliefs to what I do, which, by the way, is a huge thing in Portland. I don't know how many other people do the whole vote with your dollars thing, but we totally do it here. And so it makes me happy to be handing over money to somebody that does stuff like support organizations I'm part of. Three of the scholarship winners this year for WWDC were App Camp for Girls volunteers. So,
which is pretty cool.
Yeah, not campers. The women who helped develop the program and helped build it in some of our cities. So that's really amazing. And I really am excited to, like I said, to associate with a company. I mean, I give them a lot of money anyway, so I feel a little better knowing that I'm not giving it to a bunch of jerks, you know?
Sure, sure. And hey, I have to jump topics on us because we still have more to talk about.
But we do. Before, we have a sponsor.
That's right. It's like you read my mind. Hey, our sponsor this week is Bushel. And Bushel is really cool because it's a service that lets you become a competent IT department without actually having to have an IT department. So let's say that you have a family that has a bunch of Apple devices, or maybe you work for a small business where you have employees that are running around with iPads and iPhones, and you just really need to manage these devices. But using all the high-powered tools that big IT departments have just isn't going to work for you. Well, take a look at Bushel, because what they do is they make it drop-dead simple to manage all these devices that you have to take responsibility for. So that you can do the updates, you can push those out to all the devices. If a device is lost or stolen, it gives you the controls that you need to wipe it and lock it so that it can't be used. And it gives you a way to track and just make sure that devices are in good working order. And they make it real easy to get into this as well for your pocketbook, because you can use their service for free for up to three devices. So let's say that you just want an easy way to keep your Mac, your iPhone, and iPad under control as far as updates go, just manage those from one place. You can do it for free. And if you have more devices, each device you add on is only $2. So it's really inexpensive to use their service, and it makes managing all of your devices just so much easier. And I think it's absolutely awesome that they're sponsoring us this week. So you should go try out Bushel and know that if it's working for you and you only have three devices, just keep using it. It's not going to cost you anything. Hit their website. It's bushel.com. And thank you, Bushel, for being our sponsor this week.
Yep.
As a person who's actually used it, I just want to jump in really quick and say this is the super easiest thing, and one of the best uses I've seen for it is if you have a family, and maybe you have a couple of kids who are on iPhones, and maybe you have a younger kid on an iPod Touch. You can totally amp up the parental controls on this. You can see what all is installed on the device. You can revoke stuff if you want to. You can lock down all different features of the phone, or the iPod or whatever, and you can really use it to adjust what's actually happening with the devices. Or, you know, if you live at my house and everybody's got two of everything and it's just complicated sometimes to figure out what's where and what system everything is running, you can get that information out of it really easily as well. So I did help with the beta on that, full disclosure, and it was it's a breeze to use. As a person who has used some of those industrial strength tools, I can tell you this is so much better. So it makes you an IT person in like the easiest way, because you don't have to spend your whole life learning a new tool, and you don't have to spend your whole life using that tool in order to manage the stuff you're trying to get done.
There you go. All right. So we only have a couple minutes left, but...
Imagine that.
I know. We will use those minutes efficiently, hopefully. All right. So yesterday we talked about the whole thing with Apple Music and Apple agreeing to or deciding to pay royalties during the 3-month trial period for subscribers, and how Taylor Swift and her blog post helped spur that on.
Mm-hmm.
Well, after all that played out, a photographer did his own blog post to Taylor Swift saying, hey, look, if you're going to be defending musicians like this, maybe you should play by the same rules yourself. And he said that the terms that Taylor Swift has for photographers when they shoot at her events is pretty much in line with the way Apple was going to handle royalties for the record labels. And so what he said is that the terms that the contracts that photographers have give Taylor Swift complete control over the images. She can use them however she wants, and they're not going to get paid for all of the uses that come out of these images. So,
right.
So that kind of kills their revenue stream, because they might be able to sell the image one time, which will not recover their costs, and then they can't ever resell it or relicense it again.
And that single use, this was the thing that killed me, was that in the terms of the agreement, that single use is only if a news outlet is covering the event, then that photographer has the opportunity for those photos to be used as part of that. You know, there was a Taylor Swift concert in town. Here's what it was like, and here's a picture from the show. That's the only way that that photo can be used. It can't be sold to Rolling Stone, who's talking about Taylor Swift's tour. It can't be sold to somebody like People Magazine, who's like, check this out, you know, here and there. None of those things are possible. It's only if there is an article about the show itself. And then after that, Taylor Swift's company owns the rights to those images in perpetuity. So if you, and one of the things he points out in the article is like, I'm not being paid to go to the show. It's my expenses if I travel. It's my expenses for all the film. It's my expenses for all the processing. It's my expenses for all of the work that goes into shooting that event, on the off chance that I get to sell that one image to the local paper. And then after that, I don't even get to own those pictures anymore. So if Taylor Swift wants to use them in the tour program, she is well within her rights to do so. And the guy who shot the picture doesn't get any money for it.
Now, not being someone that has worked in the music industry, I don't know if this is standard terms or if this is just something that Taylor Swift is doing.
Taylor Swift is probably more in control of her career and the business of Taylor Swift than any artist ever. And I'm including in part there artists who may have been, you know, like under the control of management or whatnot. I mean, Taylor Swift is an extraordinary machine.
Yes.
So I don't know. I would be surprised if these terms were standard. They will probably become standard if Taylor Swift is able to get away with this. Mm-hmm. But it is a crappy thing, and it's a crappy thing. Mm-hmm. I think it's even crappier, actually, I think, than Apple trying to not pay artists for time that it wasn't bringing money in.
Right. Well, from what I have read, these are not uncommon terms, but they are not standard terms either. So they're not unheard of.
Interesting. All right. Hey, if we have any people that are familiar with the professional music industry that can shed some light on this, I would love to hear from you.
Me too.
Yeah, so you can shoot me an email at observations@macobserver.com, or you can hit me up on Twitter. Our Twitter account is @TMODaily. And I would love to get your input, listeners, because I have a feeling that your collective intelligence far exceeds ours, because there's a lot more of you than us. And hey, we are out of time. So, Kelly, thank you so much for being here today.
Thank you so much for having me back.
And Brian, thank you for being here as well.
Hey, yep.
It is always great to have both of you on the show. Thank you to Bushel for being our sponsor today. Head over to their website. It's bushel.com. And sign up and start managing all of your devices in a far easier way than you've probably been doing so far. And listeners, thank you for joining us. We'll see everyone again tomorrow.